that was the first deal wherein I had to go back to Lucknow, and I was in Gurgaon that time and I was in college and I had to write my exam. So I had a very tough decision to make that time, whether to write that exam or fly back to Lucknow and close that deal. So obviously I chose business, and I guess that it played very important role where we are right now. Was my first pitch about to happen in the school, and I was really young back then, so I do not disclose my age to most of the people because of that same story. So what happened is I went to that school, and I told them that I have a meeting with the director and I want to offer such and such product or service to that school. So person thought that I am there for the admission in that school, and he said, okay, so admissions have been closed and you are not allowed.
Hello everyone, and that is my guest, Mohammed Youssef, is the CEO of Edinify. And so Edinify assists schools in connecting with prospective parents online and helps parents find the right schools for their children. Think of it like a matchmaking service. So in this episode, he talks about their great traction so far. He talks about how they went about validating the idea. He explains why he dropped out of education to do an edtech startup. He talks about why selling to schools in India is one of the toughest markets you can be in. Thoughts on the Indian education system and what can be improved. I talked about being a successful three-time entrepreneur at the age of 20. I talked about advice for first-time founders. I talked about successful SEO strategies to get the parents to the website. I talked about the business model. I talked about paying his way through college. And he finally talks about time blocking techniques that help him focus and be more productive, which you can use as well. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Hello, Mohammed. Thank you for coming on the Indian Startup Show today.
Thank you, Neil. Thanks for the invite.
Please tell us what you're building.
So currently, we are working in our edtech platform called Uniform Application. We basically help students to find the best school for their child all across India.
And how are things going? Yeah, what kind of traction are you getting?
Yeah, so currently, if we talk about our platform stats, it has been 2 years since the operation, and we have 5 lakh plus monthly users on our portal. In 2 years of time, we have counseled more than 10,000 parents all across India, and we have more than 250 schools on board partnered with us, and we are operating in more than 7 cities as we are speaking, which makes us India's largest school discovery board.
Excellent. Congratulations on that. Let's go back to the start then. What specific problem are you trying to solve this?
So the problem which we are trying to solve is, and how we got the idea, is that we were in the school and we were sort of applying to different colleges, and we thought of like creating a common application for colleges in India. So we went back to the industry, we took some interviews from the people, we talked to the people in the school, and we found out that colleges, people are already aware about the digital thing, and there are various platforms like Shiksha, College Duniya, who have been working on this front, who are creating or easing out the process of discovering college. But there is no one in India or no one nationally who is working to create a such directory of the information or creating this process hassle-free. So currently, if we speak about in India's admission cycle, so there has been a movie also on it, which is Hindi Medium by Irfan Khan, who highlights the issue of schools admission in India so badly that people have to stay in queue all nights in order to send their child to one of the best schools in India. So it's a great hustle for the parents in India, to be honest.
And sort of how did you go about validating the idea? So you did the interviews.
Yeah. So we were actually sort of, so a little bit about the background. Yeah. So we were already working in the college ERP industry. So right. I have been in the industry since I was a student in class 9th, and the class after class 9th and class 10th, my first edtech venture, which was the ERP company which I started. So I was pretty much in touch with the school. So we were conducting sort of interviews, like what are the basic problem which they face in terms of like how the admissions happen, or what is the process behind the admission, and what is the process behind the selection of the student. So what we found it, and what we found initially, what we developed it was a common application portal for the students in India. But later on, when we worked on it, and we, after the launch of that portal, we sort of realized that there have been huge surge in the opening of the new schools across different cities, and there are more private schools, and there is a lots of issue between the demand and supply gap. So we wanted to fill that gap, and we wanted to help schools in order to increase their admission and or in order to promote their brand in front of the potential parents.
And sort of in the what needed to be fixed in the early days then? What feedback did you get?
We realized that neither the parents or neither the schools want the common admission thing. The students want what they want is the perfect school for their child. So that is what matters to them. And these schools want to fill up their admission. They do not want their seats to be emptied because that will be a huge revenue loss for them the entire year. And they want to focus on really good candidates so that they can increase the academic performance of their school. So that was the gap. So initially, after launching the Common Application portal, we had to revamp all the portal and put it in a school discovery portal phase so that people can come onto our portal. They can compare different schools. They can find the information about different schools and they can send inquiry so that our job becomes sort of like a matchmaking for schools and parents. So you can say a Tinder for schools.
Oh, nice. That's a good way to describe that one. And what's the business model behind this?
Basically, business model is mostly we work with schools and we are completely free for the parents. We do not charge parents anything. For the schools, we charge on the basis of the leads or basis of the admissions we give it to them. We also work with the schools on building their brand online, which comes with a certain subscription model. So we basically post their advertisements to the most targeted parent as possible on our portal, because we have quite a lot of details about what the parent is actually looking for, because he has selected various parameters, like for example which school board he wants, or what is the area he wants, or what kind of school he's looking for.
Good stuff. How long did it take you to get your first customer?
Yes, first customer has been the really important, because that was the time when I was in college, and at that point of time that was the first deal wherein I had to go back to Lucknow, and I was in Gurgaon that time and I was in college and I had to write my exam. So I had a very tough decision to make that time, whether to write that exam or fly back to Lucknow and close that deal. So obviously I chose business, and I guess that it played very important role where we are right now. And that was the deal with one of the India's one of the largest school. So currently, if I see my college life. So I am a dropout now. And I remember those days when I was at an event. It was organized by IB Hubs and it was a startup school. And I received my report card back then. So because I could not appear in most of my examinations, so I was marked zero in most of the subjects, which included entrepreneurship and corporate finance. So people were shocked, not after seeing the report card, but they were shocked after seeing my reaction towards it, that hardly I gave any importance to it. So some days later on, I received an invitation from my college to conduct a workshop on entrepreneurship for final year BTEC students. I said, no, that is amazing.
That's a great story. What do your parents say, though, when you dropped out or didn't take that exam?
So I'll let you know once they come to know. I'm sure they'll be coming to know after this podcast.
So you not told them yet?
Yes, I haven't told them yet. Oh. But they have been very supportive, very supportive since my childhood. Story from my background. I belong to a place called Biswa, and it's 80 kilometers away from Lucknow.
Yeah.
It's a small town. And currently, at my first 6-7 years, I was not able to walk.
Oh.
So I had a major leg disability.
Right.
I was just lying on my bed, and I used to solve puzzles or play with computers, or that was the major stuff which I was doing. So later on, as there were no good schools, let's say, so I used to go to a place called nearby Sitapur, and I used to travel via bus in order to get my education from there. So after class 10th, once I started working in the ERP industry, and once we started working towards schools,
yeah,
I switched my schools to a boarding school, which was in Lucknow, and it was called the Lamartina College. And in class 11th, it was a very good moment for me. In class 10th, it was a great success after selling those softwares for the ERP industry to these schools, that I was able to pay my first year fees in class 11. So that is something really to be proud of.
So you couldn't walk for the first 6 to 7 years of your life. That must have been quite tough.
It was kind of a different experience, because I was not going to school at that time, and the teachers were coming to my place to teach me different subjects. So it was kind of a school at home experiences. So people are now doing school from home during the COVID time, but I have done that 20 years ago.
You're doing the COVID thing before COVID. Yeah, great. How'd you go about volunteering? validating the idea.
Okay, so by the validating of the idea was to see that whether what we are assuming right now, like for example, what we assumed was very different than when we went to the market was completely different. We thought people, if we create a common application, people do not have to go to tens of different schools. They can just search these schools online from our portal and they can apply to any schools they want to. But the idea in the physical world was very different. When we went to the ground and we launched our product and we obviously we conducted many of the interviews from the parents and from the schools. So what they said is, see, once the parent is sending their child to a particular school, he is not taking a decision for a year or for a two, but that life is going to be changed for that particular student. So the parent does not want to take that decision just by going through online websites or seeing the images of the school. He wants to see the culture at schools and he wants to experience it. So parents does want to visit these schools. Maybe what we did, we created a discovery phase easier for them so that he can sort particular schools and he can discover those things. He can relate to those schools and he can find via all the filters, like what is the fees of the annual fees of the particular school or what is the current board in his area, which are the in those areas, so that he can go to those schools and now he can send the child his or her preferred school.
Oh, interesting stuff. In terms of the business development process, selling to schools, how do you find that? Who do you speak to? Is it administrations? Is it headmasters? What's the process?
Yes.
Cold emails, picking up the phone.
Okay. So I would say like selling to working in the education industry along with the schools, especially in India, I would say it is the toughest market you can ever be in because of the different hierarchy system and different power of authority in different schools. So some case, what you have is say that decision maker is the director of a particular school who sits besides the school, who is not available in that school. So you have to go to that school, you have to get an appointment with the director and you'll be meeting with the director. In some cases, what happens is principal himself is the decision maker. So the things move on sort of real quick. And so problem is the schools take like huge time to close a particular deal. So there is a problem with that. But earlier days when we started, so the time was huge. So now we have twisted some of the methods in methods of the approach, in methods of like how do we get the meetings. So the timeline in which we close the deals has sort of really gone some sort, but still that is the problem. So regarding the cold emailing thing, cold email does work. Basically, you have to get a follow-up with a physical meeting later on. But right now, once the pandemic has hit everyone, so everything has moved online. Even the schools were forced to move online. But earlier, most of the school wanted a physical document rather than a digital document in order to when you are sitting in the meeting. So they were focusing on like that was operating in an old-fashioned way.
You must have got a few no's then at the start of your journey. How did that feel like?
Like during the start of the journey, I remember an incident when first time I was going to a school and I was about to pitch. So that was my first pitch about to happen in the school. And I was really young back then. So I do not disclose my age to most of the people because of that same story. So what happened is I went to that school and I told them that I have a meeting with the director and I want to offer such and such product or service to that school. So person thought that I am there for the admission in that school and he said, okay, so admissions have been closed and you are not allowed. So I went to that school and director also did not take me that serious because I was literally sounding like a child. And that is not most of the, like, it's a recent incident. It's not like 6-7 years ago. It's around 3-4 years ago because I am 21. And because of that incident, I do not disclose my age to most of the people. I say I'm 24, I'm 25 because I sort of hesitate because people might not take seriously when I say I'm 21 and I'm already the founder of three companies.
Oh, God. I hope you don't have any ID. They might ask you for ID one day. I don't know. You have to fake, come up with some fake ideas of that. You were getting turned down by schools, but you managed to turn it around. In terms of parents, they may have been skeptical at the start. How did you turn those guys around?
So regarding the parents, so all the work regarding the B2C marketing has been done by another partner, which is Harun Beg. So we are three partners.
Yeah.
And Harun, has completed his BTech, and he literally did not have much experience in the digital marketing. But what he did, he started learning SEO, kind of like I have never seen people getting so much involved into the idea. And now, because of him, I would say we have more than 5 lakh monthly users, and all of this traffic which we have onto our panel is 100% completely SEO traffic. We do not run any advertisement. We have never gone for any brand building campaigns, or we have never published any advertisements in the newspaper. So currently all the traffic, all the user base which we have gone is just because of the SEO, and all the credit goes to my co-founder Haru.
So give me an example of SEO then. So basically these are keywords that are picked up by Google.
Yeah, so right now if you'll be searching for any of the keywords like best schools in India or any of the big city, you name it, like for example best schools in Delhi, best schools in Lucknow, Noida, Bangalore, Pune, or any of the major cities, or any of the best schools in boarding school in CR or boarding schools in Dehradun. So we are the ones who are ranking at the first place, and we are getting major of the traffic. Not just this, but we have also developed tools around it, like for example CGPA calculator and everything. And if you will be just searching for CGPA calculator, you will be finding us on the first position.
This must have taken a long time to do then.
This hardly took us a year to do this.
Right. So you were seeing results after a year of doing this then? Or how instantaneous were the results then?
So results were actually what we were observing in our earlier phase. What we observed, like for example, we launched in October 2018 with almost like 5-10 users on a daily basis coming to our portal. Mm. And day by day, we saw a huge increase. Like for example, month on month, there were 50%, 100% increase on the traffic. And which gave us like, that was the high point of time in our life. But later on that, like traffic became literally constant. And SEO results are something wherein you cannot know if you have done some action. So it will take around a long time to reflect back. Mm. And that can also be a bad action or a positive action. So you cannot know because of which action your traffic has increased or because of which action your traffic has been decreased. That is something which involves lots of patience and lots of time. Like just do a particular thing and wait for the results. So it usually takes around a few months or a year to reflect results. Yeah. And results also reflect on slowly basis. It won't be like today you are sitting at 100 users per day, tomorrow you become 1,000. So it will go on a linear basis.
It's all organic growth basically, rather than paid.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have you ever tried paid advertising?
So we have tried paid advertising or through Google Ads, but frankly speaking, we did not get good results from it, because currently the traffic which we get are the genuine traffic who are looking for these schools in those cities. That's why they are finding for the keywords like best schools in a particular city. So when we were sort of running the display ads or we were running the Google search ads, we were not getting that much of a quality lead. So we actually started emphasizing on quality over quantity. So we stopped all the advertisements right back then and there, and we started more focus towards the SEO. We do have plans to run different kinds of campaigns, but not the digital campaigns.
How fast are you growing then? Are you getting schools onboarded like every day, or how fast is the sales life cycle?
So currently what we have did is we have currently paused all the external sales. We are only doing the internal sales, the leads which we are getting through inbound, through our email or through our call. Because we did not wanted to onboard each and every school from different cities. We wanted to create a clusters, or we wanted to target specific cities so that we can serve them in a good manner. We did not wanted to degrade our brand. So there are many leads who are just pending because we are not operating in that city. It's not that we can start operating in that city tomorrow, but we do not want to, because we want to first focus on the quality and create a sort of a good cluster in that particular city. And once everything is done, ready, set, then move on to another city. So our sales is mostly internal. We are not doing much of an external sales.
And how big do you want to go with this platform then?
Yes. So what we want to do is we want to become the go-to platform for finding and applying to schools for all major schools in India. We also aim to expand to different countries which have similar industry problems.
Which countries?
So there are many countries like from the Europe side if you'll be seeing, or from the USA if you'll be seeing. USA has got different portals called niche.com and goodschools.com. So they are also addressing to a particular problem but their aim and approach is very different. So we kind of have a similar problems in these kind of countries. If you will talk about the Asian countries, Bangladesh, Thailand also have a similar kind of problem towards school admission.
It's quite interesting you're doing an edtech startup and you dropped out of education.
Yeah, that is really interesting. But my other founders, other partners have been very excellent in academy. Harsh Kramchandani was a person who always used to rank among top three positions in his class. And also, like, I was the only one who was just above average. And later on during the college phase, I said, no, I signed up college for learning things, learning about entrepreneurship, learning about business management. And the only course in India which provided me to learn that kind of stuff was BBA. So when I joined it, I was highly disappointed because everything they were teaching me was already taught to me back in class 12th in ICSE. So I sort of started focusing on my business, and business has today taught me great things, great values, not just the knowledge, but I have like insights from the industry. I have like how to conduct operations in different areas, how to deal with different kinds of people. So that is the thing which I have learned through startup.
No, you've done a lot. I mean, Christ, you're 21 and you've already done three startups. How do you feel about that?
So currently, I don't think so. I have been achieved something like which we wanted to do in our lives. We are already working towards it, towards the aim which we wanted to develop. And I guess this is just a start, let's say.
Yeah. As someone who works in the education system in India, then what's your current view of the education system in India?
So education system in India, currently, I will say the major of my personal reason leaving it because it was lack of learning oriented, but it was more of a career oriented, wherein you go, you sign up for a degree, you complete that course, you will be getting a job based on that degree. But people were not paying emphasis on the learning matter or the skills which the person had. And currently, I would say the system is slightly improving. And with the new education policies which are coming, they are more oriented on the skill development rather than just learning all these stuff and writing down on the exams. So the education policies which are proposed by the government, they are still to be they haven't been implemented yet, but they are in the a very early phase of implementation. So I hope things might be improving back, but right now I personally do not like how the current education system in our country is.
But let's say you were in charge of the schools in India, what would you change then?
So currently, if we reach out to schools in India, and if I am the in charge of the schools in India, what we'll be doing is we will be not focusing on the academic performance, but we'll be focusing on the overall development and overall skills which the person needs in his life. For example, we do not need to know how the application is written or something, but we need to know how the email or the formal chat has been sent through WhatsApp. That's also part of the learning. People do not know basic etiquettes of writing the email or writing a professional WhatsApp message, which is, and it is not being taught in the school because currently our books are obsolete and they are teaching methods of communication in which earlier people used to communicate with. But right now the methods have changed, the technologies have changed, but that has not been yet incorporated in our education system.
This must be a massive market because obviously there's a lot of Indian parents, there's a lot of kids in a lot of schools.
Exactly. So this is a massive market, and currently I would say it is not matured yet, because if you will be looking at only tier 1, the schools are very interested in doing branding and doing the digital ads in order to promote themselves in front of parents. But as you will be going towards the tier 2 cities or tier 3 cities, schools have not yet adopted that, but obviously they'll be adopting it in the later phase of the life. Currently there are only small players in the industry who are solving this problem by doing their digital marketing, let's say, or promoting them in the newspapers or the banners or something. But there is not big companies or not big portals, nationalized portal, I would say, who are currently working towards this problem, because this market is at very nascent stage right now.
And in terms of the edtech startup scene in India, how's that going? That must be booming as well.
So if we talk about the edtech learning startup scene in India, so it's booming. So like you already know companies like Byju's, Vedantu, who have been like acquiring companies like anything, and they are getting lots of, because I would say the pandemic has got lots of effect in it, because people are now at home and they want to sign up for the learning because they do not want to waste it time just by sitting at home, or so they are just signing for these of the portals like Byju's, Vedantu, or any of the other learning platform and India. And in India, it has like there are daily or day after tomorrow, there are new edtech platforms rising, and they all mostly they are getting the clients, I would say.
Yeah, so what advice would you give to our first time founders then?
So my advice to other startup founders will be
drop out of college.
So like I would not encourage the dropping out of the college. Knowledge and the degree are both important. It depends upon the job you are doing and at what positions you are in. So I basically dropping out the college, I firstly evaluated all the risk, and I knew what harm it can do to me, and after assessing that and creating other options for me, I dropped out of my college. But yes, obviously my advice to other startups will be that incorporating and running a company is a very difficult job, and you have to dedicate your nights and days toward it. So it's not a ticket to a billionaire club, or like building a scalable product or service could take like solving a problem for thousands of people takes times and patience, and there are lots of highs and lows during the starting up phase, and we should not run after earning money. Money will be the byproduct of the problem which we are solving, and most importantly, we should never get married towards the idea, but we should always be open towards change and towards feedbacks which we get from the market until the times that idea becomes mature. And funding is not the barrier of starting up. Mini ventures can be started just with zero money in the pocket. We should rather focus on building our skills and how we can use those skills to pump our start.
What were the first impressions of your co-founders when you first met them?
So I actually met Harsh in class 11th, and also Harun was my 1 year senior towards me, and I also met him in my college, in Lamartine College. And what happened actually, there was a school page called Humans of Lamartine who has published an article about me back then. Once I was in class 11. So the article was about how a class 11 student has started his company and he sells software and he pays his own school fees. So Harsh commented on that article, and Harun also liked that article too much. And we end up ended up working with each other in a organization called Auxaro. So we used to manage events and organize events in that school. So Harsh was back then working along with me, and Harun I met, I started working with him later stages. So I really liked working with Harsh back then, and he was the go-to guy when I thought about starting something up.
There you go. What were you like at school? Were you like sitting at the front of the class or sitting at the back of the class? I don't know.
So I actually did not used to sit in the classroom back then. In my class 11th and in my class 12th, I have hardly attended around 2-3 class, that's it. I had an office in my school itself. It was called an Auxaro room, wherein we used to sit all the time discussing about different stuff in the name of planning things and planning events for the college. So that was the primary reason for escape. And I was a boarding student. And in later studies, I used to make up for the whatever it has been taught in the classes. But I was neither among them, neither the front benches, neither the back benches. I was the person who was not in the class.
sounds like a holiday you had there.
Yeah, it was a great experience at Lamartine, to be honest, which helped me developing all my skills, because I was involved at that time. I was involved in collecting funds or organizing events, dealing with other school principals and the teachers, and bringing them together on a table. So that was a great experience for me, and I think every person should go towards something of creating like this or working some kind of something in the school phase, because it gives you a lot of knowledge and lots of insight.
Mm. Do you think that, because obviously he seems that you were born to be an entrepreneur. Do you think people are sort of, you know, born entrepreneurs?
So I don't know, because like my family, if I talk about my family, mostly everyone is a doctor. And yeah, right. Also at the same time, everyone is working on their venture also. Like, for example, we have a medicine manufacturing company. We also have a pharmacy, and we, our uncle and my grandfather and my father is also a doctor. So I say that we manufacture, we recommend, and we sell.
Interesting stuff. But going back to schools then, what's the top school in India then? Where are you seeing the applications that all the parents are making then? Does it change every year sometimes?
Yeah, it does changes every year and every season, I would say. Like, for example, boarding admission session starts on a different timeline, and like different cities have different timelines for these schools. So if I would say like the best schools in Delhi right now, so our best schools in Lucknow, we saw huge surge in applications for Lamartya these days once the admissions got over. For the boarding industry, I would say there was huge surge in the Dune International School, where we saw huge people visiting the school space for those days. And there is a lot of boom in specific seasons for different cities.
Has anyone helped you on your journey then? Any mentors or?
Yeah, so like I would say IB Hubs, it's an organization based in India, and it helps students to start their startup journey. So it played critical role, like huge role, and it was a life-changing experience for us. So basically what happened, I was in college back then, and IB Hubs organized a startup school. So that was their annual event, which they used to organize. And the event was taking place in Lucknow itself. And it was organized by Mr. Abhinav Pandey, who is actually now our mentor too. That program is a full residential program for around a month. And they teach you every life skills, and also the most important skill you need to learn before starting a journey or before starting a certain enterprise. In that school only, I met a lot of interesting people, and I met a lot of, I brainstormed a lot of ideas, which changed all of our thinking process, I would say, and made us more mature. Later on, IB Hubs also incubated our startup for a year. So we have been working along with them, and we have been learning with them. And then later on, Mr. Abhinav Pandey ended up becoming the mentor for us.
What life skills did you learn?
I used to stay with those kinds of people, for days and nights. So our sleeping pattern was really low. Like, for example, we used to sleep around 2, 3, and we used to again get up at early in the morning, and there were lots of assignments. So assignments were more focused towards how you think or how you should develop a particular kind of mindset. Like, for example, growth mindset, or how you should observe people, or how you can improve your learning skills. So these kinds of skills were the life skills which I learned from the startup school.
It must be difficult to improve learning skills, because obviously there's so much social media.
Social media has obviously reduced lots of attention span of the people. So there was a very good philosophy back there in the school, wherein we divided the time for work and social media, and we created an Excel for it, to be honest, wherein I will be doing my social media thing for this time, and this stuff. I'll be available on WhatsApp for this thing and this time. So this kind of started creating a focused mindset, wherein we could not divert our mind onto another thing, but we could focus on a particular topic and we can dedicate our full attention towards it.
That's really good, that. So it's basically a calendar blocking.
Yes, exactly, with many strict rules. So after doing that, various strict rules for a month period of time, we saw improvement in our overall behavior.
How strict were you though? How strict were the rules?
So they were obviously self-implemented. Yeah. It was not forced. It was just by how you can implement it by your own. So it depended upon person to person, how the person is implementing it. So yes, for me, I was actually focused. I went there for learning. So I was focusing on everything what they were telling from learning from blocking our timelines to giving feedbacks or thinking about the what we learn on a particular day or how the things could be improved and creating a note for it or creating an Excel for it. So afterwards, when after a month, when you saw those like things which you can improve and how was your learning for the day, you can reflect to everything like how it has been a journey wherein you were on the particular scale back then and how you have came to a particular scale after that programming day.
Yeah, that's really good, that. Has anything sort of surprised you about your entrepreneurial journey so far?
Surprises, yes. Every day is full of surprises, to be honest. And the day, it comes in such a way, like, for example, one day we think we are the India's largest school discovery platform. The second day, we come into an existential crisis. So it's that kind of shock. Some days we crack a deal which we haven't done for months, that amount of deal. And some months are like we do not even crack a single new deal, let's say. So these kinds of stuff are there. And each day in working with different people and listening to different people teaches us a lot. And I would say every new day comes with lots of surprises, lots of new things to learn, and lots of shocking stuff.
Unbelievable. Mohammed, thank you for coming on the New Start Show. For people who want more information on you and what you do, how do they connect?
So people who want to connect me can connect on Twitter. My DMs are open. They can connect me on Instagram. Even my profile is open. And I mostly spend my time on Clubhouse these days. So they can reach me out at Clubhouse at M Yusuf. And they can reach me out at Instagram and Twitter at MuhammadYusuf00.
How are you finding Clubhouse? This is the new sort of hot startup.
So Clubhouse is great for interacting with people because I find it very raw, to be honest. Mm. Because you are interacting with people and directly you are asking questions to the people and they are responding to you on an instant basis. So you get all the information which they are thinking about and which is raw. Like they are not getting time to process that kind of stuff. So this is so real and this builds a lot of good connections, I would say. So I have met an amazing people and I have got to learn from a lot of great people on the Clubhouse. So mostly I end up becoming a listener or I just, whether I'm in the audience section or the speaker section, I just mute my mic and I learn from other people because they are much more elder than me and they have great experiences and I enjoy listening to them.
Yeah. What sort of groups are you in then?
So I mostly clubs like FinTech.
Got it.
And we are involved in the education sector clubs, but mostly the time we spend is just talking about day-to-day stuff in which we end up talking about really good value things mm-hmm. in our life.
Nice one. Actually, you mentioned Lucknow. Don't think I've ever spoken to anyone from Lucknow on the Indian Startup Show.
Yes.
You're the first one. What is the startup scene like in Lucknow then?
So Lucknow is in the very early days of startup. I would say there has been few of the startup who have been acquired, which are based on the Lucknow. So there was a startup which was working in the drone sector. Mm-hmm. It was called the Eagle or something, I guess. I do not exactly remember the name. Mm-hmm. But they have been acquired by Zomato. And they have been working towards the drone delivery system. But there are very few startups which I know from the Lucknow and they are at very of the they are just in the ideation phase or they have just launched. But Uttar Pradesh government has got great plans for the startup. So if we have also interacted with many people in the UP startup culture who wants to create this big thing out of Lucknow or out of Uttar Pradesh, let's say.
Would you not consider moving to Bangalore then or Mumbai? Get more exposure.
I was talking to my partner about this, moving to Bangalore.
The weather's quite nice.
Yeah, the weather is quite nice. And also the startup culture is quite nice. And we have most of our clients from Bangalore and Hyderabad. Mm. So that is the main reason why we wanted to base our office at Bangalore. And we might real soon.
All right. Okay. Well, watch this space, as they say. Mohammed, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Neil. It was really great talking to you.
Awesome stuff. And yourself. See you now. Bye. Thanks to Mohammed for coming on the show today. I really enjoyed it. So go and connect with him on Twitter and Clubhouse. Check out the link in the show notes. And if you haven't yet, please subscribe to the Indian Startup Show, wherever you listen to the podcast. Thanks for supporting the podcast. And let's connect on Twitter at Indian Startup SH or go to facebook.com/ Indian Chat Show, or please email me hello@neilpatel.co. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye now.